Shalom and good morning. We are in Esther chapter number 7, verses 1 to 10. We want to focus on understanding the tension and the dramatic climax of the book of Esther. This is where Haman's plot is exposed and justice is served. After Esther had risked her life by approaching the king, she now revealed her request during the second banquet. Haman, expecting honor, enters the second banquet only to have his murderous plot exposed. The tables are turned against him, where he faced the wrath of the king, commanding him to be hanged in the poles that he had built for Mordecai. In this, we will learn that people harvest or they reap what they sow. You also want to see the courageous advocacy. You also want to see how God can intervene in the life of the people. Remember, this book is more of advocacy. So, the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet, the second banquet, and as they were drinking wine on the second day, the king asked, "Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even to have the kingdom, it will be granted." You see, the king is also is willing to give. Remember, we also learned the principles of intimacy, the principle of intercessory, the principle or the truths about advocacy. How can you advocate for others? This is the moment. Esther have already done what we call the adoration. He had done the confession. He has done the thanksgiving. He is now in his supplication. It's time for him to give his petition. The sin of Mordecai's pride is mature now enough to be punished. Remember the other day we said God does not punish wickedness until it has come to iniquity. It has matured. He also wants you to grow up in a place that you can be able to trust God. You're not just asking God or doing intercessory out of frustration. You're doing it out of trust. You know, sometimes you go to pray to God. It's like God is also moved with what moves you. Is that God has not seen all these things. But here, he says, it shall be granted. Look at what Esther says. Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant my life. This is my petition, and spare my people. This is my request." Now, all along, Esther has never revealed who she is. One of the session we said, please don't talk so much about yourself. It will come to a time. Don't expose yourself before time. Just as you don't want to, expose your petition so quickly, because you trust God is in control. She says, "Grant my life. Spare my life. My life is in danger. That's my petition now. Spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we had merely been sold as male and female servants, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king." You know, he's saying, if we were sold because of debt, I would not have come to disturb the king. No, no, no. That would not have justified. But if nothing, we have done. And the king, and she put it very well. You spare me, spare my life, if it pleases you and my people. She is now giving the secret, the last card, which he has held all this time. May God help us to have those last cards. Let's not just talk everything. Let's just learn to trust God. And the King Xerxes asked Esther, who is he? Where is he? The man who has dared to do such a thing. Now, the king, remember, Haman had come to the king early on and secretly, thinking that it will never come to be exposed, saying there's a certain group of people. He never talked about that they were Jewish people. He called them certain group of people who are scattered among your kingdom, and they have got different customs. Will it not be good for you to destroy them? And the king, without thinking, with the signet ring, he said to Haman, do as you wish to them. And Haman has been plotting all this time. He never told the king who they were. Now the king, now Esther says, we are the people that were sold to you to be killed, to be annihilated, to be destroyed. And the king is asking, who want to kill you? Who is doing such a thing? I tell you, Esther said, the enemy and the adversary, the wicked and the enemy, this wicked Haman. Now, you see, he did not just say it is Haman. He called him wicked Haman. Why does he call him wicked Haman? Why does he describe him as a vile person, as a wicked man? Very crucial. Just, he could have said it is this Haman, because now is the time to expose the evil of this man. Remember, the wife Zeresh and the close friend had said, whatever you have started doing for these Jewish people, you'll fall. And now Haman is just about to get to the bottom of his wickedness. Whatever he saw, he's now reaping. And when the king heard about it is this Haman, Haman was terrified before the king and queen. He has never thought who Esther is. He never thought, he didn't see it come. The king got up in rage. He left wine alone on the table and went out into the palace, on the palace garden, just maybe to make his anger cool. But Haman, realizing that the king had already decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king exclaimed, will he also molest the queen while she is with me in the house? As soon as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Then Habona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, a pole reaching to the height of 50 cubic stands out of Haman's house. He had set it up for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. The king said, hang him on it. So they hanged, they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided. Now, as we conclude this, I want you to realize that Haman now is getting to the very bottom of his life. This is where his pride will get him. Esther revealed that Haman is the one who wanted to kill me and my people. She's not afraid to say, I'm a Jew now. The king has already found favor. He said, even if it's half of the kingdom, and a king's word cannot be revoked again also. She has kept it as a secret under the leadership of her mentor Mordecai. Praise God for our mentors who helps us to live with wisdom and strategic wisdom in king palaces. And she says, Haman is the one planning all this. And Haman was terrified. The king got angry, got to the garden palace, to the palace garden, to have his anger subside. But as he comes back, Haman is now pleading for his life. He has forgotten that he wanted to kill others, yet he wants to live. And the king said, oh, you want to molest my queen in my house, in my presence. And when that word came, covered his head, and somebody said, even he has prepared to kill Haman, I mean Mordecai on the post. And the king said, go hang him there. And they did that, and his anger subsided. May we always get to know that whatever we plant, we'll harvest. Whatever we sow, we'll harvest. Let's get to know that God will come on time. Whatever has been planned for you by your enemies, whatever they dig, those holes the enemy digs for you, they fall into it. That's what the Bible says, the book of Psalms. God will come on time. Is it a coincidence? Is it a providence? It is a God on time. We serve this God on time. Father, we thank you. Help us to look up to you, to know that you save us, to know that you'll come on time, to know that you'll not get late and not come even early. You come exactly on time. Father, help us not to be proud. We confess our pride to you so that we do not fall. Help us not to plant evil for others. Help us not to dig deep holes for others so that we may not fall in them. Help us not to make crosses and to hang others lest we are hanged on the same, because that's what the principles of the kingdom are. We worship you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.